This is Money Talks.
Is Money Talks.
Atlanta's longest running, most respected money show on radio.
We're back. I'm Bill Laco, Ted Parrish, and Dr. Gene Hensler. So Gene, you got that Twitter account? The Twitter? Twitter? Tweet.
Let's answer some questions here. I've got Joe Malone writes, I want to check on one of my favorite stocks, PepsiCo. Still one of your favorites. Do you have any target prices for buying it? Had good earnings that we just talked about.
Good earnings. I mean, Pepsi is expecting growth about 7.5% over the next 3 to 5 years. Pays about 2.9% dividend yield. So P/E ratio above market at 19. But I tell you what, the whole consumer staples sector has always had a premium to the market.
That's correct.
So I mean, it's because it deserves it.
Because sales are relatively stable compared to other industries and firms.
I wouldn't expect the company to just blow up 30%, but you can expect 10, 12 to 15% out of Pepsi every year. And for that reason, it should be held in a diversified portfolio. I think it's a great holding.
I do too.
What's the dividend?
2.9%.
And it grows.
Yeah.
It grows at
7%.
7% a year.
Yeah. So, you know, not a screaming
every
buy.
10 years, what happens to it, Bill? The dividend doubles.
You have the value line over there?
The dividend
Let me see
doubles.
That value line.
There you go, buddy.
The dividend doubles.
Oh, the dividend doubles. Okay, I got you. Well, I thought you meant the stock was growing.
So on your purchase price, you're going to get almost a 6% dividend return.
Yeah, it's at 92 today. I'd say 105, 107 in a year, just roughly.
That's guaranteed, folks. We guarantee this.
Yeah. He's kidding.
It's a joke.
And if the activist investor Peltz has anything to do with it, it reached that level before then. He's trying to push to have the company broken up.
It's going nowhere.
No,
after this earnings.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Here's one, which is I think an interesting question, Bill. Eileen from Kennesaw, how much of my salary should I save? Sometimes I feel we oversave. When does saving cross the line into being too frugal?
Well, that is an interesting question. So I would tell you what the good Dr. Gene Hensler told me when I was 23 years old. And he said, save 10% and you'll be fine. And so you fast forward. I didn't believe you, by the way. So we fast forward 20 years. And I saved 20%, and I have way more money than I ever thought I would.
And you maximized your tax deductible and tax free, otherwise they're deferred.
Yes.
All the time.
Yes. 401k, profit sharing,
right.
IRAs, Roths.
Right.
I don't, you know, and then you save what you can to taxable. Now, the hard part is generally where this conversation comes up for us and our clients is like your mother-in-law and father-in-law, when you made me sit down with them because they canceled their Wall Street Journal
because they couldn't afford it.
Because they couldn't afford it. And I'm thinking you have, you know,
X million.
Yeah.
Not a ton. Now he's a doctor, but he had a substantial amount. They had a comfortable retirement. They could never understand the concept that when you're old and you're retired and you're not making money, you're supposed to spend more than your dividend and Social Security. You're supposed to dip into the principal.
Right. That's why you saved it.
Yes. They viewed that they had to save 10%
right.
of what they were making in retirement, which was, you know, dividends and interest
and Social Security. Right.
So, yeah, that's been...
Right.
But it's hard to break a habit.
It is. We have another client who was actually in World War II, and that's a similar scenario. They have foregone doing things, and they're happy with it, but, you know, there are no heirs. It's going to be a huge estate, and we always have that. We call it sacrifice conversation.
Yes.
You know, now's the time to take the round-the-world trip, because what difference does it make?
That's what I'm doing.
Right.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. But you got one foot in the grave, one on a banana peel, and Teddy and I are pushing, baby.
You're not going to see me in line at Delta, except for international flights. And that means a long ways away. Not the Bahamas, not Canada, not Mexico.
Yeah. Well.
Across the pond.
So, I think when you, depending upon how old this person is, because I don't know how old she is, but at the end of the day, you can't save too much because you never know what the future is going to hold. So at some point you say, oh, I can never spend this money. Well, that's when you go spend it.
I think that if you save 10%, like we talked about.
Right.
And you do that from a young age, you'll be just fine. What is the alternative minimum tax?
Hold on.
Let me tell you something. I'll tell you how this started off. All right? How this started off was quiet. I'll give you a little history lesson here. Don't doze off. People got mad at, there was a woman named, it was Horace Dodge. That's Dodge Cars. You remember Dodge Cars? Uh-huh. It lived on a yacht and had something like, this is back in the 50s, had something like $100 million in income that she didn't pay a dime for the taxes. 100% of her money was in municipal bonds.
Really?
And she never paid a dime. They said, we're going to get that woman. So basically it started off as a tax to make people pay taxes even though they don't have taxable income. With that, Bill will go on to explain.
Well, it's very hard to calculate, and it basically is what you said. You have to run almost two sets of projections.
That's correct.
So your ordinary income tax and your alternative minimum tax. And generally, you're going to be sucked into the alternative minimum tax if you itemize. And so basically, you got to pay the higher of the two, whichever one is
higher. Yeah, and what's happening is more and more people are getting in the impacted by the alternative minimum tax.
So last year, one-third of all taxpayers who were in income brackets between $200,000 and $500,000 had to pay alternative minimum tax. 2% of the taxpayers was between $100,000 and $200,000.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like a lot, but it is.
It wasn't exaggerating. She was always used as the example.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And the reason I know that, I'm from Detroit, and I saw where she kept her yacht. She kept it in the Ford Lagoon.
Right.
And that was the lagoon that the Fords owned. You know, that's what we go back to. Anyhow, what was aimed at very, very, very rich.
Model T.
What was, absolutely, I'm after the Model T. it was aimed at very, very rich people, and it was not supposed to affect ordinary individuals.
Right.
And if you think you're wealthy, if you make $300,000 a year, you might be in Atlanta, but you won't be in Manhattan.
No.
Or San Francisco.
Right.
Or Chicago and a whole bunch of other places.
Right.
I don't know if you ever watch the these home shows where they go out buying homes, they look for homes international and stuff like that. You look at what people pay for homes in the East. You know, a 3-bedroom, 1-bath home built in 1904 and had a thing done to it since then sells for $700,000. I go, here, you can buy a mansion for $700,000. At least a mini mansion.
Right.
Actually, a mansion in the boonies and a mini mansion in town.
Right.
So that's a tax that everybody's upset about because no one understands. Have your accountant explain it to you.
They can't. And there's no way to know if you're going to be in it.
And if they charge by the hour, it's probably going to cost you $300 or $400.
Yeah. And there's no way to know whether you're going to be in it or not without running the projection.
Yeah, I asked my wife, who's a CPA, every once in a while, explain to me that alternative minimum tax again. I nod off.
Wait. Is that it? Is that it?
All right. Teddy.
Yeah.
Chad Randall writes, I've heard you talk about Walgreens and CVS, Caremark. Mm-hmm. Which one do you prefer? He says, I prefer Walgreens, but I can tell you that it's totally based on my neighborhood stores. CVS just looks dated.
Number one, don't invest on that basis, on what you personally like.
Really?
We've owned both, and right now we own CVS. Nothing wrong with either. Both are, they're so comparable now. Both have A-plus for financial strength. Both their long-term growth rate right at 14%. Both have dividend yields above 1.5%.
Yeah, and the CVS has improved, by the way. Yep. Walgreens has had it forever.
And Walgreens is actually here. Finance is not that they're bad. They used to have zero debt. Now they have 18% debt. And I think it's because they've gone through this acquisition phase. They bought Duane Reade. They bought Alliance Boots, which is an international company.
And they're thinking about moving the company to Ireland.
Yes. Inversions.
But
I think CVS is more vertical.
As they a shareholder in Walgreens, would you not want them to do that?
Absolutely. I'd want them to do that.
Yeah.
I think the other thing is that Walgreens is embedded in – really, really expensive real estate.
Which is a good thing, right?
Which is a good thing that CVS can't get into. So you're going in Manhattan, it's Duane Reade.
Yeah.
So that's why they bought Duane Reade. You go into Chicago in the Loop and everything else, you're not going to see a CVS.
No.
They're Walgreens. Now, they started there, so that's one of the reasons. Intense, intense real estate places that CVS is going to have a hard time getting into.
That's because of the history. Walgreens been around a long
Well,
time.
No, it boils down to...
Walgreens invented the milkshake?
No, yeah. I didn't know that.
Back in the day.
But for example, I know the corner they're on in Chicago.
Were you not there when they invented it?
I used to, by the way, I used to be a soda jerk. It's one of my many jobs.
Well, that last part, I totally get. See, I took all the abuse last week. I'm dishing it out this week.
But I'm very serious. They're on a corner that it's irreplaceable. You would have to probably pay $50 million to be in that corner. And I'm sure it cost them $12.95.
Back in the heyday. Yeah.
Yeah. And so their rent factor is zero. Yeah. And so they have the competitive edge in those areas. People, so a CVS doesn't even want to come in and try to compete because they can't compete.
Yeah.
They'd be losing money.
Well, CVS has the largest market share now, 21% versus 19%.
They've done a good job. Yeah. They came in, and what CVS did was pretty simple. They said, let's go out and see where there's a Walgreens, and let's build across the street.
Right across the street.
It was the same approach that
Rite Aid took.
Rite Aid went belly up. They couldn't handle it. But, you know, it was like... In the olden days, too, going back in history, if you wanted a fast food restaurant, you look where McDonald's went. Then you went right across the street. So it isn't by accident that you see these places together.
Yeah.
And
the traffic's already established. The traffic is, so.
And they were the smartest guys in real estate.
And they're still smart.
In fact, is there a real estate company? Come on. You know how McDonald's works.
I got you. So... An opinion.
All right.
CVS, they're vertical. They bought the pharmacy benefit management company, Caremark. Walgreens reached a deal with Amerisource, Bergen. Right now, those were both two good acquisitions, deals. CVS is cheaper than Walgreens. 17 times their earnings versus 19.75. I don't think Walgreens should have that much of a premium.
And the other thing, too, is wasn't CVS the first to have doctors or professional assistants in their stores?
They have the largest in-store clinics.
So they really have been...
Stepped it up.
Well, excuse me. apologize. They've just been more forward-looking than Walgreens. Walgreens is sort of playing catch-up.
Yeah. Yep.
On that kind of
thing. Yeah, but I don't think if you own Walgreens, I wouldn't swap it right now.
Right.
I'd hold on to it. But,
I think you would probably buy CVS if you didn't own either one.
Right now.
Yeah. Okay.
What are the dividends?
1.4%, 1.5% for CVS and 1.75% for Walgreens. Right about the same. Not very much of a gap.
Okay.
I got Eldon from Cartersville, Bill. I'm about to get married. Should I adjust the asset allocation of my 401k to take my future wife's investments into account?
Well, I think you should definitely look at your future wife's accounts.
And congratulations for marrying a woman with some money.
That's true. That's true.
But most guys marry women with debt. And most women marry guys with debt. So, I mean, that's how you start off life.
Yes.
Obviously, this must be a second marriage.
I don't know. But you should definitely do that. And you should really look at making sure that you're maximizing both 401k plans so that you get the...
benefit of the tax deduction.
Well, that and the match. So,
yeah, and the match, yes.
You know, a lot of times we'll see one person's putting 17.5 and the other person's not putting anything in, and they both could be getting matched.
Right.
So we'll break it up. Say, put, 4% over here and 4% over here, and you've... it's the only way I know to get a guaranteed rate of return.
That's right.
And like you always say, one of the spouses may have better options than the other.
That's right.
Did you just say that?
No, he didn't say that.
I did not, but that is what I always say.
If I could say it.
Echo.
If I could say it. But thanks for stepping in there, Dave.
I just jumped on out there.
No, man. I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it.
All right, a quick quote. We're going to flash. This should be easy. Lisa and Andre, we are thinking about downsizing our home in retirement. Any advantages or disadvantages we should consider?
What?
My hesitation is I've only got 14 years left on the current mortgage. Who cares?
Right. Downsize.
Downsize.
Yep. Save you money.
And carry a smaller mortgage.
Yep.
And then stretch it out over 30 years.
I completely agree with you.
I told you we could answer it.
There you go.
Yeah. No messing around.
Up or down next week?
Up.
All right. It's always a slice of heaven. glad I was able to participate.
If I was on the clock and I was charging money, I would take a longer episode.
We'll see you next week.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.